And we are back. Right now we have Maggie and Amanda who are going to be going over incubation programs as success boosters. What's in it for the game developers? I'm going to hand the stage over to you guys.
Thank you. And thank you for coming, everyone. Today we're going to talk about incubation programs as success booster and what's in it for you. We are Amanda. I'm a project manager at Game City Hamburg.
And I'm Maggie. I'm also a project manager at Game City Hamburg.
Our mission at Game City Hamburg is to support game companies and game developers with dedicated funding programs like our prototype funding and our GameSoft incubator, also workshops and events. Our goal in general is to improve the conditions for game developers, and we're funded by the City of Hamburg. So a short talk about our GameSoft incubator. It's 1 year of support so that developers with great ideas can create and refine their concepts for digital games. Since 2020, 20 teams have completed the program. So we had 5 teams per year, and they get funding, workshops, access to a broad network, and also office space. So there are a lot of challenges that inexperienced indie devs are facing. They come up with great ideas that they can implement in a creative and programmatic way. But what's missing are the framework conditions to successfully realize their project. Without these, it's hard to get their game to stand out in the current saturated market with countless games released every day or to even get financing. In this industry, the exchange of information and mutual support is of great importance. For example, the devs exchange information on various topics such as programming, trailer creation, trade fair visits, which freelancers are best suited for which part of the project, and much more. So it's basically simplifying the progress of the project. Can we get the next slide, please? So there are certain skills that are crucial to successfully release your game. Developers need to be able to do a market analysis, course and resource calculation, pitching, marketing, company foundation, to check their USPs, and have knowledge of relevant legal issues. Also, project management is a big thing. All of these points need to be clearly formulated when pitching to a publisher. I'm going to get into the points a bit deeper right now, starting with the market analysis. The market analysis shows that their game with the chosen USP stands out from all the other similar games and can sell accordingly. A clear look at the reasons why similar games are successful or not helps to avoid the mistakes of others and to refine their own strengths while addressing the right target group. In addition, your own project can be priced more efficiently. So if you do a market analysis, you will actually check the whole market and see where you stand. Also, cost and resource calculation clarifies which costs, what costs what, like how many working hours from how many employees will flow into the game. Without such a plan, indie developers are unclear about the total costs and the duration of the project. Pitching also needs to be learned in order to secure financing for the project via funding and publishers. What belongs in a pitch deck, how to prepare for follow-up questions, and how to present these aspects are not automatically put into the developer's path and block the way for a potentially successful game. When to start marketing and which assets are needed, where to find your target groups, and how many resources you need to be allocated to those areas, unpredictable, especially for your first project. However, this is essential in order to be able to sell the game among all the new releases on the market and to be seen by the players. A USP must be clearly checked to see whether it's fun for the players or whether there's already something similar on the market in order to stand out from thousands of games to sell your game. I know that I'm always saying, like, there's a lot of games out there. But there really are, and you have to be careful that your USP is really bulletproof. So also setting up your company involves legal, tax, and monetary issues. These can prevent the foundation of a company or slow it down due to possible errors. And also clear project management enables efficient implementation of the project and ensures that the available funds are sufficient. And of course, without funding, none of this would be possible. They need to learn how to find funds. They can either get it from a publisher, state funding, crowdfunding, bank loans, or for work for hire commissions.
So we heard about all the challenges and all the different skills that indie developers face and need. But now for the big question, how can incubators and accelerators actually help you tackle all those challenges? Before we go into detail, one big heads up, there are many different programs out there, many different incubators and accelerators, and the services they offer as well as the goals they pursued might differ vastly in some cases. So we won't describe the one incubator and the one accelerator because there just isn't. They're all very different. But what we'd like to do here today in this talk is to have a look at what most programs have in common, what some might do differently than others, and first and foremost, to give you an idea what an incubator or an accelerator program is generally aiming at, and if participating in such a program might just be the right thing for you and your team. First, some definitions. As much as they might differ in the details, all incubation and acceleration programs in the games industry share a common goal. They want to support indie dev teams in building and growing their project, their company, and their business. The line that is usually drawn between an incubator and an accelerator is the stage that the participating project is at. Incubators usually focus on early stage projects, like in the idea concept stage, while accelerators step in when a project or a company is a little bit further along. Again, this is not incubators don't run by textbook. For example, our own incubator, the Gameslift incubator, is called an incubator. But we also accept teams and projects that are very close to release even. So you don't have to be super early stage. But that's the general idea in dividing it in early stage projects and later stage projects, because they do have things in common when it comes to the workshop program that most programs, for example, offer. It might be better if all projects that take part are in a similar stage, because you can, of course, tailor the content of the incubation or acceleration program more to the needs of the individual games. And just in general, incubators and accelerators do, of course, not exist exclusively in the games industry, but in fact, in many other industries as well. But today, of course, we want to focus on the ones in the gaming industry because, yeah, that's what we are here for. So let's talk about concrete services that they offer. What do incubators and accelerators particularly offer to game devs? They can help you by giving intellectual input in the form of mentoring or knowledge. I will go into all of these topics deeper in a moment. They can also help you by providing resources, financing, and a space to work at. And they support you by connecting with other people that will help you bring your project forward with team building, with building a professional industry network, and you might benefit a lot from peer support from your fellow incubation teams. But yeah, let's look into each of those services individually. First of all, the mentoring. This might be actually the one service that probably all incubation and acceleration programs have in common. Mentoring basically just means that more experienced industry professionals provide their time and their knowledge to the teams in the incubator or accelerator and help them find answers to the questions and the challenges they have. Usually this happens in form of one-on-one coachings or in group coachings. The mentors provide feedback, input, and their personal perspective on the plans and the questions the incubation teams have. The mentoring might be provided by externals who are specifically hired for the job, so the mentors, but it might also be provided by the organizers of the incubation program itself. I know a couple of cases where this is the case. From the content side, the mentoring can cover development topics, depending, of course, on the expertise of the respective mentor. This can go into very specific details on how to solve an individual problem. It can also be feedback on a game design idea or concept art, on UI issues or narrative design. yeah, as I mentioned, totally based on the expertise of the respective mentor. But mentoring can also cover the business side of making games. Which platforms should I sell my game on? What price should I sell it for? How do I find a publisher if I don't want to deal with that exact questions myself? How can I secure additional funding? What languages should I translate my game into? The list of questions is, of course, super long, and it is super different for each team. And of course, each mentor has a different set of skills and experiences. But I'd always encourage you, if you take part in an incubation or acceleration program and you do work with mentors, always ask your questions, even in the field, if the field where you're looking for input is not exactly the core competence of a specific mentor, because they still usually have an individual view on a problem, and they are, all of them are highly dedicated to support their teams. And it, even if it should be the case that I cannot answer a question themselves, they will most likely know a person who can. So the mentoring part of an incubation or acceleration program helps teams to feel not alone with the challenges they face, and that might just be just as important as the actual input that they receive from the mentors. Another form of input can be knowledge, and that is provided not only through individual one-on-one mentoring, but sometimes also in the form of workshops and talks. For example, in our Gameslift incubator program, we have a 3 months long workshop phase where we have sometimes several workshops and talks per week, which means that the participating teams will have less time to actually develop their games during that phase. But while it costs some time during that phase, it will hopefully save a lot of time later on, because it forces you to tackle really important topics of making and selling games at a really early time when you can still make a lot of important decisions that will help you later on. The picture actually is from one of our workshops with the product field, where the teams are guided through a method that will have them look at their game idea from several different angles. This product field method digs very deep into the vision of a team that the team has for their game, and it examines it so deeply that after the two-day workshop, the teams will be usually super exhausted, but they will also have a much clearer vision of their game and the different stakeholders that play a part in all of that, and the tasks, of course, they have to tackle next. We took a look at a couple of incubators and accelerators, and of course at our own, and it's pretty clear that the topics that are usually covered in workshop programs are pretty similar. It's producing and product management. It's a lot of pitch training. Pitching is so super important, not just when you want to pitch to a publisher, to an investor. It can also help you a lot when promoting your game to customers, even if you don't have a pitch deck to show them. It will help you really clearly and in a very precise way to communicate your game. Then, of course, PR and marketing. That's a topic where most teams lack a lot of knowledge, because they're more focused on the development part. So that's where an incubator can really help you just provide some knowledge and some input from professionals. Topics like monetization, business development, different financing options, because Amanda already said it, financing always is probably the biggest issue. Legal topics are part of workshop programs, and questions of founding and running a company, of course. I think you might have noticed that this list of topics is very similar to the list of challenges that Amanda described in the beginning of the talk, and of course with a reason, because that's usually the parts where incubators can help the most. You might also notice that development topics are pretty much completely missing from that list, except for the producing part. Development topics usually are not, or at least less, covered in workshop programs from incubators. In our programs in the Gameslift incubator, we also decided to leave them out completely for two main reasons. First of all, development is the part where the indie teams are usually best at. They are super highly motivated to solve any issues they come across by contacting their mentors, by talking to other indie devs, or maybe just rummage through Reddit to find a solution. But it's the business topics and the marketing topics where they need the most input. So the time in workshops is spent best by when we're talking about marketing, biz dev, and the like. And the second reason is that it is almost impossible to find a development topic that is equally interesting to all participating team. Very simple example, why should we offer Unity workshop when 3 out of 5 participating teams work with Unreal and the other way around? We came to the conclusion that the way we can help best with development questions is through mentoring and individual input. To give you a little more detailed picture here, just 3 examples of talks and workshops that the way they are covered in our own program. Cassia Curran works with us for several years, and I know she's also working with other incubators, so you might have a good chance to meet her somewhere out there. She gives a workshop on market analysis for games, so she introduces methodologies and resources on the topic, and most importantly, she looks at each of our projects individually, and she sets up a market analysis together with the development team. She doesn't do it for them. It's very important that she helps them do it themselves, which means together they are looking for suitable competitor and benchmarks, crunching numbers and calculating best and worst cases for the release of the games. The second one is Simon Carles. He might be known to many of you through the Game Discoverability newsletter. If you haven't subscribed to it yet, I highly recommend you do so. And in his talk within our incubator program, he speaks about the 10 commandments of game discoverability, as well as on how to create a game hook. You know how many games come out on Steam every day, so discoverability is one of the key issues for all indies. And yeah, Simon has put a lot of work into figuring out what helps a game be more discoverable than others, and he shares some of his wisdom in this talk. And after he gave his talk, the participating indie teams in our incubator create their own game hooks, and Simon reviews them and gives some feedback on how to improve them. You might also maybe know the third person on this slide, Chris Sikowski. He offers very valuable input on his website, How to Market a Game. And he's also part of our incubator program. And in his talk, he describes the importance of picking the right genre for your game and how to leverage its success by messaging it in the right way. Next topic, aside from the knowledge transfer, is financing, and it is a very important topic. Also, there are very big differences between the several incubators and accelerators who are out there. Some of them offer their participants a non-repayable funding, so they give actual financial aid. Some also give actual financial aid, but in exchange for something like equity or another piece of the cake once the game is out. In some cases, it's actually the other way around. So the participants do not receive money, but they pay for participating in the program. And also in some cases, cash just isn't an issue at all. You don't receive funding as a participant, but you also don't need to pay anything for the services you are offered. So it is very easy to say, I think the first option with the non-repayable funding is the most attractive. And if you are simply looking at the money, it is, of course, the most attractive. But I'd really urge you not to decide on joining an incubator program simply based on the money. Because if all you need is money, if you just need funding, maybe you better look for a financial funding program or an investor or the like. But an incubator or accelerator program will help you in much more ways than just the money. I know it's super important, but it's not the main part of an incubator most of the times. And I really recommend looking at the full picture of services that are offered and not just the money that is tied to it. In our incubator, actually, we are part of the top left. So we do pay a funding of 15,000 euros to each team that, and that funding does not have to be repaid. And what's super interesting to us is that after each incubator year, we ask the participating teams, when you first applied for our program, what was the most important factor for you to join the incubator? And the answer is always the money, every year the same. And we also ask those same teams after they finish the program, now that you have finished it, what would you say helped you the most? What was the most important part for you? And it shifts away from the money. And the whole workshop program, the network, and the peer support becomes much, much more valuable for the teams. So you should always keep that in mind. One main feature that many people have in mind when they hear the word incubator is usually a physical space where the teams come together to work on their projects, sometimes as part of a larger gaming hub in a gaming industry cluster in larger cities. And such a working setup has, of course, huge perks. You do not have to pay for office space, or at least very little. And during your time in the incubator, you are super close to other indie teams, as well as sometimes incubator organizers or larger companies that might also be in these hubs who can help you out with many questions. So you just have to walk across the hall to get some input, which is super valuable, of course. The team building aspect is also covered in different ways by different programs. You can enter some programs as an individual person without a team, and you will be matched with your future teammates right there. This is part of the incubator service for some incubation and acceleration programs. And even if you're in one of the other incubation programs where this is not the case, but you join the incubator as a complete team, the time spent there will most likely have still a very big impact on how you work together as a team. Maybe because you attend dedicated workshops on team building, maybe also because it's just a very intensive time for all of you, and maybe also because incubators usually offer a casual and more personal side of their program as well, in addition to purely professionally focused events. There might also be evenings where you just sit together with a bottle of beer and enjoy being among people who have the same passion as yourself. Outside of your own team and your incubator or accelerator, having a strong network in the industry might be the make it or break it factor for the success of your project. As I'm sure all of you know, the games industry is pretty tight-knit, very people-oriented, and during your entire career, it will help a lot knowing people, keeping in touch with them and their projects, keeping them updated about your own projects, and see who you can connect with or who might connect you to new people. For our Gameslift incubator, we have built up a group of about 30 to 40 people each year in our Gameslift network. And those people share their contact data with our participating teams. And they are not active throughout the entire incubator program each week, but they are always there and they are committed to helping out our incubator teams whenever they have a specific question or need a contact to someone in the industry. And in turn, we keep those people in the network posted about the progress the teams make in the incubator and, of course, invite them to our online and offline events. And yeah, of course, the network refers to industry professionals, but also incubator alumni. We, for example, in our incubator, we meet just at a bar every couple of months with the alumni teams as well as the current teams. And it's always a very fruitful exchange for everybody. Last but very much not least, in my experience, peer support is a very valuable side effect actually from incubator programs. From an organizer's perspective, it's a bit difficult to implement this in your program because in the end, this part hugely depends on the commitment of the individual people who are taking part in the program and how they work together. But an incubator or accelerator can, of course, encourage peer support by allowing space for this in their program, by encouraging everyone to speak up during workshops, and for encouraging feedback among all participants. The picture you see on that slide actually shows a playtesting session that we had in our incubator just last week. Each team brought a recent build of their game, all very early builds, allowing others to play and to give feedback that is open and honest and constructive. This is something so completely different than putting out a demo on Steam or even if your game's Discord community, because your peers will be much more forgiving when they play your game at a super early stage and will completely, of course, understand that some parts are not polished yet, that some parts don't work at all. And on the other hand, they will be totally honest with you because they want you to be honest about their project as well, of course. So that's something that was always a great experience when seeing the teams in our incubator. So this was a factual overview of services that many programs out there offer. Personally, I believe, as I mentioned, that the connection part is maybe the one that's most underestimated. The benefits from input and resources seem to be somehow more tangible for, because everyone instantly understands why financial support is super helpful to indies and how an experienced mentor can, of course, help you solve very concrete problems in your game development or marketing process. And that is the case. I don't want to talk this down or anything. That is super valuable. But in the end, the long-term effects of having participated in an incubator might just be the very personal ones. So the people you met and the connections you made. Aside from the hard facts and services, we would like to share another perspective of what an incubator or accelerator can do for you. And for this, we turn to the mentors in our own program and ask them how they feel an incubator can help indie teams being successful. Most of those people that are mentors for us also are mentoring in other incubators as well, or are professional business consultants. So they do see a lot of indies, know about the challenges of indies, and have seen teams succeed and fail. And here's what they have to say about incubator programs. Many, for example, is a mentor not just for our incubator, but also for the European Video Games Accelerator. And she said, most indies think they only need money. The rest is just making a game, and they're certain they know how to do that. But acceleration programs teach that game development is just one piece of the puzzle. Running a company, leading a team, networking, pitching, and managing cash flow and budgets are critical skills that can make or break a studio, turning a passion project into a successful business. Another one of our mentors, Björn, who's also a business consultant, he says, the incubator does a great job at communicating the difference between a project and a commercially oriented product. As a result, the teams grow with their tasks and they grow up themselves. And another one of our mentors, Daniel, who's also running an indie studio himself for a couple of years now, he says, you can literally see how the incubator has given the team self-confidence. They now know much more precisely what they want to achieve and how to get there. But aside from the mentors, of course, we would also like to bring in the perspective of participating teams themselves. One of the very first graduates of our incubator was Ole, who just released his VR game Crumbling a couple of weeks ago. Check that out if you're into VR games. And Ole said about being part of an incubation program, when you have a great idea for a game, you are far from alone. Convincing others and bringing it to life is the hard part, and you will need all the help that you can get. For that, incubator programs are a gift from heaven. He also said in another interview we did with him, the most important thing I took from all the training and programs of Game City is the network of people and how to cultivate it. Without those contacts in the world of game development, I wouldn't have had a chance to get the funding to finish it.
So from Ola, we can see that he actually used the incubator like in a great way. He connected with other people, he connected with the extended network. And he also, after learning how to pitch, learning how to network, doing the field workshop, he put this project in such a good state that he got a follow-up financing from our prototype funding. And after that, he even got a deal with Meta. We know that he brought in additional developers on board, also from Hamburg. He always used other Game City services, such as our program where he can exhibit at events for free, pitch deck, additional pitch deck checks. And really, he stayed in the industry. He's active in the industry in Hamburg. And we value him a lot. And it's great to see that he released his game. We also asked other incubators and accelerators for their success stories. I talked to the Cologne Game Lab incubator, and they showed me two projects. One is Super Cat Boy from Pixel Pogo. They released mid last year, even got a publisher, Assemble Entertainment, and as far as we know, they're doing well. Another success story from the Cologne Game Lab incubator is Out of the Mist. By Desperate Broccoli. They also released mid last year, and they self-published. Because in an incubator, it's teams can always ask themselves the question, do I want to find a publisher? Do I want to self-publish? What do I need to do that? And what's actually the best solution for me? And Out of the Mist was one of the teams where they told themselves that publishing without a publisher would be the best case for them. We also talked to Spielfabrik, who have the European Video Game Accelerator. Vectronome came out of there, was released in 2019, published by Art de France, by Ludopium. And it was really exciting to exchange information with the other incubators. We always do that to improve our program, but to see their success stories was a really great part in preparation of this talk. So there's also Dordogne, which also released in 2023. I've got published by Focus Entertainment. And Dordogne is something that I saw before and was, I don't know if I would say surprised, but I find it amazing that I also came out of an accelerator and incubator. I think these programs are really, really helpful, and I'm happy that they released games that I want to play later. We also talked to a third incubator from Game Hub Denmark, who showed us Nisses, which got released in December 2019, got a lot of reviews on Steam, got published by Hooded Horse, and I think the team met Skovgard can be very proud of themselves. Last but not least, there is Monday Meltdown. They also released just a few weeks ago by Foodsome Studios, also self-published. And yeah, I'm very excited to now check out all the incubators and to see which games are released out of them to have some great time playing. So we also collected our own observations. We noticed that the participants of our incubator use our services more frequently. Before they got into the incubator, you saw them maybe here or there or never saw them. And after they came out of our program, you can see them everywhere. At every networking event, they show their game at our local indie networking event and start presenting on stage to show what they did, to show what they changed. It's really amazing seeing them grow. Also, as I already mentioned, we take developers onto events in our Road 2 programs, and we give them like free booth spaces and sometimes free tickets. And the people who come out of the incubator are frequently applying to this program, which I find is very nice. They also really recognize the importance of networking in the industry. As Maggie mentioned and I mentioned before, this is really crucial, and I'm happy that it works out like that and that they connect, and like their whole barrier, their shyness of, hey, can I talk to this person at this event? And can you give me an introduction? And even if they have an introduction, they're really, really shy. After that program, the shyness basically flies away and they network as if they were born with it. It's really, really great to see. As I mentioned already with Ola, they go to additional workshops, they go to pitch reviews, they also check out the other people who are in current incubation programs from us. We have this graduation at the end of a workshop phase of our incubator, and you can always see how the former incubator participants are cheering and rooting for the current teams. Also, we really see that they increase their use of social media to increase their visibility. It's really great to see that they come up with strategies for what do I need to post and what does give me some visibility without having to put too much work into it, because we all know these are small teams. Usually they don't have a social media manager in their own group. So to see that they're using the time efficiently to get the word out of there is awesome. Also, since I mentioned that we talked to other incubation and acceleration programs, I have one quote from Odile Limpach, who says, "The incubator averages 3 new founding studios per year with an average lifetime upwards of three years and rising. 60% of all studios are still active. Over the span of the last 3 years, 6 games have been published out of the incubator," which is an amazing, amazing thing. I love the idea that we get more and more great games from awesomely prepared teams.
So those are our experience and the experiences from other incubators. And if we manage to keep up your interest or keep you interested in joining an incubator program up until now in this talk, of course, we'd like to have a look with you and how you can find one that suits your needs and goals so you can participate in a program in the future. First up, you should ask yourselves a couple of really important questions. About what you want from an incubator and accelerator, but also what you are able to bring into it. First, some very practical questions. Programs are sometimes, but not always, location-based. So you should ask yourself, would I be able to join an on-site incubator? Would I be willing to move to another city or even another country for some time to join an incubator? Or am I looking for programs that work completely remotely? Remote programs also usually have some on-site events planned, at least for the kickoff and the end of the program, so you should always keep the location in mind. Next is the when and the how long and the time invest. So when is the program starting and how long will it take and how much time will I as a participant have to invest in taking part in the program? How much time for workshops? What kind of progress is maybe expected from me to make on my game? And am I willing and able to fill the commitments regarding the time invest? That is super important, because if you just say, it will work out some way, you might not get the best out of the program. Then there's, of course, the question of the cost. I mentioned before that some programs do have a cost to it, which can be totally worth it, but only if the program has the right content for you, of course. And last but not least, the eligibility criteria. All of the programs have specific eligibility criteria. For example, in some incubation programs, they accept only students. So you have to be a student at a university to even take part in it. Other accelerators only accept companies that are legally founded. So this might also be an important issue. The age of your company might be an issue. The location of your company or your home living area might be a criteria, so you should absolutely look deeper into this if the program is really for you and your team. And aside from the practical questions, there's always the question, does it fit? So what do we need as a team? What does our project need? And what is offered on the other side? And do the two of those match? Also, you should ask yourself, how does it fit into our midterm planning? So what goals do you have planned maybe in the next year? And can you fit in an incubation program that might make you question the very foundation of your game concept and might make you change some very crucial decisions, which, of course, will affect your midterm planning? You should absolutely be aware of that. So if you have any really strong commitments in the months after the incubator, you should look into how flexible those actually are. And last but not least, there's, of course, the question of the quality of a program. So because, of course, we are talking about our program in the best way and all the other incubators do it as well. But it might be a good idea to look into the incubator alumni teams, maybe talk to some of them, maybe approach them. As you know, the gaming industry is usually super open. So find out who they are, contact them, and I'm very sure that they or most of them will be super happy to talk about their incubation experience and what they would recommend and maybe not recommend. But how do you learn about incubation programs and which ones are offered? Finding the right program can be super difficult, especially since there currently is no comprehensive list or database of incubation and acceleration programs. I wish there were, but just recently an initiative was created, the Special Interest Group for Game Incubation as part of the International Game Developer Association, which also has a LinkedIn page that you can follow. And this group has brought together organizers of incubation and acceleration programs from all over the world. It's super impressive to see how many there actually are. And they regularly exchange about ideas for their programs and how to improve them. So while this is not a group that you as participants can join, this is just for the organizers, but it still makes a lot of sense to follow this LinkedIn page, because this might be just the source where you in the future might find such a comprehensive list. And also it will keep you updated about several examples of programs that are there all around the world. So totally worth following, absolutely. And apart from that, we'd recommend to approach your local indie game dev hub. Like, we are at Game City Hamburg, the local initiative for Hamburg, but most larger cities have some kind of indie clusters, usually either from the city or from the state itself, or maybe sometimes privately organized. And this is always a good source just for getting tips on what programs are in your area. You can also always join online indie dev communities. If there's nothing in your area, just go global and join some Discord servers, like the Indie Game Business, who's running this conference, also has this great Discord server where so many indies are just asking questions and answering questions. So if you're looking for an incubator in an area, just post the question and see who from that area is also on the server, and you might get just the response you need. Same goes for servers like the Games Industry Gathering or Work with Indies. I guess most of you know the bigger servers. You can also, as I mentioned, approach alumni teams. If you found an incubator that looks interesting to you, they usually post their alumni teams. So you can just approach those teams and ask about their experiences and recommendations. After all of that, it might just be that you won't find a program that really fits your needs, also because many of them are local and there might be none in your area. That's still quite possible. You could also consider programs that are not specifically designed for game devs, because there are incubators out there or accelerators that are for not just for games, but for tech innovations, which usually can fit in game devs as well. So that can also be an option. And of course, you should always stay up to date with online resources, just like the Indie Game Business conferences, podcasts, or GDC talks, because when you are in that bubble of indie devs, you always will get the best tips that even in places where you might not expect them. Last but not least, a couple of advice from our experience, so that you can make the best out of your time in an incubation program. First of all, before you join one, be really, really, really conscious of your team's vision and goals. Is an incubator really the thing that you need next, or is it just funding that you're looking for? Are you really looking for input for a workshop program, for mentoring, for doing all that connections, or is it just not the thing that you want to work on right now? I know that's always the case, but also for joining or not joining an incubation program, it's super important just to know and be very clear about your own goals. You should also be very aware that participating in an incubation or acceleration program really does require time. In our case, I mentioned before, we have those 3 months of workshop program, and we always tell the teams in advance it will take a lot of time, and they still underestimate it usually, because it's not just the time that you spend in workshops, but after workshop, you might be so brain fried, you just can't move on to developing the next level of your game. You just need some time to absorb all of the information that you get, and to really make something out of it, you just need time to focus on those theoretical questions to move on to your practical work next. So make sure that if you know you are participating in an incubation program, you might have a look at your milestone planning and the way you might need to adapt it. This sounds super bad, but it's not at all. I'm super confident that every minute you spend in an incubation program will save you 10 minutes later on in your development process. So it's really time well spent, but you have to spend this time. Also, when you are in such a program, you have to be open to new input, even if it drastically changes your original plans. So you might be super confident about one part of your concept, and after the incubation program and all the input you receive from mentors, from the workshop program, and also from your peers, you might see, okay, I need to change it. I love the idea, but I have to let it go, and I develop new ideas during the incubator. Amanda talked about the outcomes and the that we saw from our incubator, and actually one outcome can also be, and that happened to, in our incubator as well, that at the end of the program the team said, okay, we realized after all this work that we shouldn't proceed with that project in that way that we planned it. That's totally fine, because if they hadn't realized it this early, they would have spent so much more money out of it just to have the same realization 3 years later and having lost a lot of money and time on it. So that's a drastic change of plans, but it can also be a good one if you realize it early. And of course, always offer your help to peers wherever you can, and don't be shy to ask for help yourself. I can't stress it enough how important it is to work with other indie teams, to exchange experiences, to help each other out. Because, yeah, after all, that will be probably the thing that you take away most from being part of an incubation program. After all of this, thanks a lot for listening. We are, of course, here to answer your questions here in the chat right now. And please feel free to add both of us on Discord. We are in the Indie Games Business Discord, of course. You can also ping us on LinkedIn. You will receive this presentation later, so here's the link to the IGDA Incubation Special Interest Group. And if you like, you can, of course, also join our own Game City Hamburg Discord, which will give you an impression on what the GamesLift Incubator teams are working on and what's generally up in our little Hamburg indie scene. Thanks a lot for listening, and we're here for your questions.
Maggie and Amanda, thank you so much. That's awesome. Thank you so much. That was a really great presentation. We do have a couple questions here. Well, first, here's a comment from Jerome. He says, from the perspective of a biz dev of a publisher, it's really nice to give talks, feedback sessions at such incubators. It also gives a higher quality of pitches afterwards. Thoughts on that?
Well, thank you, Jerome. He was just at an event, at one of our events on Friday, giving feedback to pitch decks. So yeah, it was great to have him had him there, and I completely agree.
It's for us in the incubator, it's also super important to work closely with the publishers, because it's super helpful to get those practical insights, because every publisher, of course, is looking for a little bit different stuff, but you can always see that the general requirements are usually the same, and it's so important for a whole program to work with people that are active in the industry. We couldn't do our whole program without them, so super happy that Jerome and others are sharing their knowledge in our program.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so anybody else, if you got questions, please drop them in chat. We have the IGDA Facebook YouTube and Twitch as well. So if you guys pop your questions in chat, we can pull them up as well. So here's one for Meshmill. What's your selection criteria for teams?
We can, of course, say that for our GamesLift incubator in Hamburg, but really you should definitely look it up for each incubator individually. For us in Hamburg, actually, the main requirement is that during the 3 months of workshop phase, you have to be located in Hamburg, because we We started during COVID, so we know the online version of our incubator, and we also now know the offline version of our incubator, and it's so much more intense to meet in person. So it's really important to us that all the teams who are participating, at least for the 3 months of the workshop program, are in Hamburg and can attend workshops. We also have the criteria that teams cannot be larger than 5 people. This is also something that that adds to the experience of the incubator. Of course, the team that is actually working on the game, that can be larger. That's totally okay. But in the incubator, in the workshops, if it's if the crowd is too large, it's not really good for the whole mood in the incubator, because we want everyone who's in the workshop to be really active. That's super important to us, and a large group cannot handle this. That just wouldn't work. And yeah, that's, I think that's the most basic criteria that we have when we choose the teams. They have to apply with a pitch deck with their idea and with a description of themselves and their idea. And we choose those ideas that we feel are really unique and have a good chance to also be successful on the market.
That's so short. I got a couple questions about that. So it's for 3 months. How often do you meet for workshops?
During the 3 months, it's basically every week. We have a couple of break weeks where you can catch some breath and also prepare usually for the next weeks. But during those 3 months, it's usually every week, 2 or 3 days where we meet for workshops. That's super awesome. Intense.
And then how many people at one time in a workshop?
It's the whole group. So we always have 5 teams per year, and each of those teams can be up to 5 people. We saw in the past that usually 1 year of incubation, the 5 teams, that's usually around 15 people. So that's a very tight-knit group then that mm-hmm. will be in all the workshops.
Right, because when it starts getting up to 25, 30 people, that's...
That would be possible, but it has not happened so far. And I think mm-hmm. it's also maybe a good thing to be in a little bit smaller group.
Right, all the people that are supposed to be there are there. That's awesome. Okay, so what level... I know there's a lot of different incubators and they have a lot of different requirements, but what level should a person or a team be in their game development journey when they decide to join an incubator? Like, is it for somebody that's, I've just been working in Unreal for a month, or is it, you know, somebody that is much further along?
So because they really need to pitch their project, the game should be in concept phase, like it can be in concept phase or like shortly before release. It really doesn't really matter, but the thing that they need to do is to put their project into the pitch deck and to present it to us and to present it to our jury later, so that we can check if there's market potential and a good USP, and that the team has enough experience to actually do the project. Like if you just worked in an editor for a month, I think you won't be able to convince our jury.
Mm-hmm. No matter how good your idea is, right?
I would also add that we have also made the experience that the teams can profit a lot if they're not all in the same stage. I mentioned earlier that it can help a lot for the workshop program, of course, because you can tailor the content more to the needs of the projects. But we also had years where one of the 5 participating teams was very close to release, while the others were just a concept on paper. And that was awesome, because the more experienced team couldn't help out so a lot, while the teams with the more fresh ideas were so much more open to also give input in a totally fresh and new way that maybe the older team could really use.
That way they could learn from their experience, right? That's awesome.
Exactly.
Okay, so how do you, you were talking about mentors. How do you find mentors for Game City?
For the mentors, actually, we looked into our own community. For now, we have just a group of 5 mentors. We want to keep it down because we want to keep the contact between the teams and the mentors very close. And in addition, we have the GamesLift Network, which is a larger group of 30 to 40 people. And that's actually also a good example for why it's so important in the games industry to build a network, because at the beginning in 2020, the network that we had in the incubator was mostly made out of people that I met in a previous job. where I used to work for a developer and publisher, and it was I met a lot of people as a sales and biz dev manager, of course. And when I changed jobs to Game City, and I asked them, "Hey, we've worked together in the past, and would you like to join our incubator network?" People were super open, so you never know where you might need a contact in the future of your career.
And like you said, the games industry is super tight and super small. They were doing that in the publisher pitch. They were talking about that, like, don't burn a bridge somewhere, because that's going to affect a lot of things. A lot of, right?
So true.
So yeah. Many people know each other everywhere. Okay. Can you go, because you were talking about support you provide from publishers and investors, can you go a bit more into detail about what that is?
Should I? What we do, I'm not quite sure if I understood the question correctly. So what we do in the incubator is that we basically connect our teams with the publishers. So we as Game City keep connections with a lot of people in the industry, with publishers especially. We do help the teams to polish their pitch. So pitch training is one of the largest parts of the workshop program. They have to pitch over and over again. And practicing helps so much. So it always is the biggest part of the workshop program, but also the most helpful as far as the teams tell us. And then we connect them with publishers also on events that we show the games, and yeah, hopefully connect them with the right people.
And pitching over and over and over. There was somebody that was on yesterday, and behind the scenes, he was telling me how he's done that same presentation, you know, for years. And when he did it, it just flowed natural, even if he was reading, and it was just, it was great. It was entertaining. All right. So you also talked about other Game City services. Can you and you did talk about a bit about it, but can you go a little bit more into detail about it?
Yeah, of course, I can do that. So the second large funding programs that we have aside from the incubator is our prototype funding program. This is a funding program purely for money, other than the incubation program. And we also have a lot of events. We have online events that all of you worldwide are absolutely very much welcome to join. For example, we have the Game Starter Series, where we take a look at different professions in the games industry. We always have a panel of people who actually work in that job and tell about the day-to-day job requirements, how to get such a job in the industry, and just give some insights into a certain profession. We also have an upcoming event tomorrow, actually, in our Game City Impulse series, which is looking at topics of diversity. Tomorrow, the topic will be accessibility and very practical tips on how to make your games more accessible to people. We are at events. Usually we bring our indie teams to events. We just had an event where Jerome was also part of the expert group, a pitch level up event, which also looked at the topic of pitching. There's a lot. I could go on.
That is a lot. That's awesome. That is awesome. On and on and on. And I'm sure you could look at the site and see all of the services, the other services you offer. Yes.
Absolutely. Also, you can head to our YouTube page. Our online events are usually streamed live, and they are also available for video on demand later on. So if you want to look at the Game Starter series on our Indie Dev Insights series, you will all find that on our YouTube channel.
That's amazing. So
go ahead. Additionally, we had a lot of local events. Like we have now a Flinter Games meetup, we have the Game City Treff, which is basically in its own a networking event. And if you always ever wanted to visit Hamburg, we also have the Hamburg Games Conference in 2 weeks. That might be a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I've got two more questions. Let's see if we can cram them both in there. The first one is, so you've seen in the games industry layoffs, so many layoffs. How has that affected indie developers, especially ones that you've been working with?
A lot of indie developers in our community rely heavily on work for hire to just bring the bread on the table. And that has definitely become more complicated in the past couple of months. So yeah, we will see where that's going at. And we can also see, which I think is awesome, that Some of the people who were laid off by bigger studios now decided to make it on their own. So they are very much welcome to come into our funding programs, of course. But yeah, the competition is rising the more people there are out there.
And the good thing about competition is that's going to make better games.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So here's a, this is a simple question. No. How do you prepare developers for self-publishing?
That's actually also part of our workshop program. We have Valve, the guys behind Steam. They have one single employee in all of Europe, and he is living in Hamburg, of course, and he is coming to us each year to give a workshop about Steam, which helps a lot, just giving some Steamworks backend tips and tricks and how to use it best, which helps very much. And of course, marketing and PR is a very big part of our workshop program. We also support our teams with a budget with a PR agency. So they don't have to do that in our workshop program, but they can, they have a time budget with a PR agency that they can approach, and they will help write a press release and make a social media strategy and the like.
Wow. Well, you fired me up. You make me want to move to Hamburg just for this.
You should.
Right? Here, right? It's like that one Valve employee comes to us. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Amanda and Maggie. Do you have any final words before we get out of here?
Keep on making games.
Yes, keep on making games, right?
Yeah, all please right. Let my pile of shame grow.
Yeah. I have thousands of Steam games. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.